Good morning. It's good to see you here in church this morning. Derek's looking quizzical. Pardon? Oh, right. Okay, I'll say a good morning again. Right. Yes. Our microphones were all changed round by the young people last week, and Claire has admitted that must be her fault. You'll take one for the team. Good. Caroline.
Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. And there is a visitor's book in the vestibule if you'd like to sign that. Here's a list of our Advent and Christmas services. I've been asked to point out that the Zoom code for the Christingle at 6:30 this evening has got a new ID and passcode, and that is on the order of service that you've got. And just a reminder that the Watch Night service is from Lime Kilns and it will be live streamed here tonight. Okay. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. The church is open every Thursday between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. until the end of March. This week and every 2 weeks, the Sanctuary Cinema will provide a film. This time it's The Greatest Showman, and I can highly recommend it. The film starts at 2 p.m. On alternate weeks, there will be games and activities. Warm Spaces is funded by Fife Council, and admission is free every week. Finally, here is a quick look at the order of service.
I have a Christmas card to read out to you, and you'll actually see this person this evening, so you'll be able to better read it, otherwise I could be in trouble. So, dear Karen and Norman, best wishes for Christmas and the new year. Best wishes to you and all members of Limekilns and Kearney Hill Churches, Nancy. So Nancy Crook is playing for the Christingle service tonight. And just so that you know, as I arrived in Limekilns, somebody there said to me, "Do you know they're having the place is white in Australia in the middle of summer?" And apparently there's been a huge hailstorm and they woke up to the ground being white and the temperature at whatever degrees. So we get rain and they get snow in summer. Well, hail in summer. Right. Oh. Now this I am being very nervous about because I used at least five or six matches down the road and not one of them would light. So I had to send my daughter next door to get the thing that lights the cooker. Yeah. So, boys and girls, who would like to light a candle? Right, okay, one, two. One, two, three. I can always try. Oh, right. One, two, three, four. Right. Okay. Are you safe, Wendy?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, anybody's more sensible than me today. Right. Any red one you like? No, red. Red one. Red one. There we go.
Oh, well done.
I'm always impressed at people that can light candles. Right. Who would like to blow this out? Oh, well done. So, interesting. Two candles have done that today. So, we've got a candle for hope, for peace, for joy, for love. And do you know how many candles we've got today? Because I don't want to say it. Who's going to say it? We've got four candles, yes. There we go. Let's worship God now in song. We're going to sing Love Came Down at Christmas, hymn number 316. Let's bless our offering. Almighty God, receive these gifts on this day when we remember your great gift of Jesus, as we look forward to tomorrow and all that tomorrow means for us. Bless us in our giving. Fill us with your light. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This year we have the shortest Advent possible. Last year we had the longest Advent possible, because Advent always begins on a Sunday. And this year, of course, Christmas Day is tomorrow. Last year, when we were at the fourth Sunday in Advent, Christmas was a whole week away. So here we are. There's all sorts of questions, like, are you ready for Christmas? Which for some people causes a kind of sinking of the heart if they're last minute like me. There are all sorts of things that have to be in place for Christmas, because we have traditions that belong to our culture. We have traditions that belong to our families. And there are lots of, well, we must have that for Christmas. For some people, it's all the decorations around their house. And some houses, the electricity bill must be enormous. There are some things that just have to be at that Christmas meal on Christmas Day. Karen's mum had one thing that she always said before we ate our Christmas meal. Count what's on your plate. You should have 14 different things. There are some people who insist that Christmas dinner isn't Christmas dinner with this little pot of jam. Now, why is there jam on the Christmas table? People tell me that it's a necessity. You know what I mean, I'm sure. But there's something worse than the jam. I know people who like bread sauce. Oh. But that's just me. In Scotland, of course, we've moved from Hogmanay and Nair Day being the main celebration to Christmas being taking centre stage. And as Christmas has moved to be that big celebration, it has, in similar measure, moved away from being something to do with faith and much more to do with our materialist society. There is the ever-increasing cost of Christmas. There is the stress of Christmas when we make it that is to be something that is more and more about excess. And actually, for our service tonight, our Christingle service, one of the stories about the Christingle is that it was a minister who made up this thing. There are a number of stories, and he did it because 200 years ago he was worried that Christmas was more about excess and feasting than it was about Jesus, which is interesting because we think that's a very modern thing. It's very easy for us to get so caught up in the celebration and the longing for something simpler that some of us could be described as the Grinch or maybe Scrooge. As we suck the joy out of ourselves and out of people around us. So here we are at the fourth Sunday in Advent, lighting a candle that symbolises love. We have candles for hope, peace, joy and love. And at the heart of the Christmas story, it's a love story. We sang words from Christina Rossetti at the beginning of our service, Love Came Down at Christmas. And if you'd been in Limekilns last week, you would have had another of our poems, which is In the Bleak Midwinter. In that hymn, we are reminded of Mary, whose place in the Christmas story is to be the mother who loves Jesus. Here today, we're going to be talking a bit about Joseph, chosen by God to be father to Jesus. Surely chosen by God for his capacity to love. And so our Bible readings today are going to be about that great definition of love in 1 Corinthians, and then the story of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. But those readings are to come. Before that, we're going to sing and we're going to pray. So if we're singing things that we sang last week, it's because I think we sang just about every carol that we might want to sing last week, which was great. And at the moment, I am trying not to sing too loudly because there are a number of services to come and I'd like a voice at Christmas Day lunch tomorrow. So let's sing See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw, hymn 310. Alistair is leading us in prayer today, and following that prayer, we're going to have those readings, and Alison is going to read for us.
So let us now draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Glory to you, O God, our Creator, for the universe in which we live. You are sovereign over all you created. Yet you didn't just leave us to get on with life, for you are also our Heavenly Father. You made us male and female in your own image and care intimately about each one of us. Glory to you, O Christ, who took on a human body yet retained your divinity. You came to redeem our fallen nature and was given the name Jesus because you will save your people from their sins. Glory to you, O Holy Spirit, who made our bodies the temple of your presence. When we receive Jesus into our lives, you fill us, working in us, moulding and making us into his likeness. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose will it is that we should be made whole in body, mind, and spirit. Glory to you, our God, for all eternity. Love came down at Christmas. Lord, we know that one of the best ways we can show our love for you is by loving other people. Sometimes this is easy when we're with people we like. Forgive us when loving is hard, when people are unkind, when they don't understand, when we just don't like them. Forgive us that we haven't loved as you loved when you walked this earth. And hear us as we confess our less than perfect love. Teach us to love as you love now, to love everyone, always. And hear us now as we join together in prayer, as we sing, as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This morning's readings are taken from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonour others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now the three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And our second reading is Matthew 1, 18 to 24, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Amen. May God bless us these readings from his holy word.
Once in Royal David's City, hymn number 315. Planning for today's service, a question came to mind. Where does the story start? Well, each of the four Gospels in the New Testament start differently. Mark, the simplest of the Gospels, just says in the beginning the good news about Jesus, the Saviour, the Son of God. The most theological of the Gospels is John's Gospel, and here we have an explanation of Jesus as eternal Son of God and as fully human as he is fully God. Luke's Gospel is written much like a biography. We begin with John the Baptist presented as the prophet who prepares the way for Jesus before we meet with Mary and that visit of Gabriel. Matthew's Gospel begins with something we rarely read. It begins with a genealogy. The way we read this gospel would suggest that the story of Jesus begins at verse 18 of chapter 1, that passage that we've just read. There's a tendency also to jump over the passage in Luke's gospel, chapter 3, where there is a genealogy of Jesus. And just to check that my memory was correct, I went and looked at the list of readings that I've used over a third of a century, and I have not once used either of these genealogies in worship. The way that we tell the Christmas story has a tendency to make us think of this as a very sudden and surprising act by God. Or we depict the story as something foretold by prophets, but still coming as a surprise to those who were longing for that prophecy to be fulfilled. The question of where the story begins was actually prompted by one of the quizzes on television. Now, I've watched a lot of quizzes over the last wee while, and I'm a bit of a fan of things like Mastermind, Only Connect, University Challenge, all of these things. And I think this was on University Challenge. It was one of the starter questions where you have to answer on your own without conferring. And this person was described to the contestants, and the description by Amal Rajan went on and on. And I'm sitting there at the television going, it's Ruth. It's obviously Ruth. But of course, biblical knowledge is rather weak in our society now. And all of these clues, you could see these folk kind of glazing over. I haven't a clue who this is. The Book of Ruth is an important book. It tells a love story. There are two love stories in there. There is one that is the love of a daughter-in-law for her mother-in-law. And that's how it begins. It begins with tragedy and Ruth deciding that she will go with her mother-in-law to this foreign land where she'll know nobody, she won't know the customs, but because of her commitment to Naomi, she goes. And then there is her meeting with Boaz, a man of real integrity. The faithfulness of Ruth is matched by the integrity of Boaz. And that, of course, is a more recognizable story in terms of being a love story. What Ruth does not know, and Boaz does not know, Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David. Jesus is referred to as Son of David. In the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew, Ruth is one of very few women that appear in that list. Matthew's gospel presents Jesus' humanity as Son of David, Son of Abraham. When we go to Luke's genealogy, he takes us back beyond Abraham, and his genealogy goes right back to God. The Christmas story is a love story. A love story that begins with God. Where does the story begin? It begins with God. This is the story that begins before the dawn of creation. God knew us before we were created and loved us before we were created. In the best of who we are as human beings, we reveal our capacity for love. Here we find the image of God who created all things, but in particular, he created humanity in his own image. Right back in the first chapter of Genesis, we are reminded that we are created in the image of God. We reveal a genealogy that goes back to God when we love as much as God loves us. The measure of that love is what we find in Jesus. Paul's definition of love is incarnated in Jesus. Jesus embodied everything that we should be in our humanity. In the Old Testament book, Known by Her Name, Ruth takes center stage as a woman of love and integrity. Boaz is a clear match in terms of righteousness and love for this foreign woman, for Ruth does not come from Israel. There is something of Ruth in Mary. She is ready to commit to God's plan for her life, though she would have known the cost of that decision. There is something of Boaz in Joseph. He remains a man of integrity when faced with the thought of a devastating betrayal by Mary. It's a very human story. He would have been regarded as the righteous party had he denounced Mary, and he didn't. Reading between the lines, he clearly still loves and cares for Mary, but struggles with the idea of angels and a miraculous birth. What confirms that this is not about what others will say about him is that Joseph is ready to accept Mary when that story is confirmed. That vision or dream of an angel. Joseph is far more than just a kind of supporting actor to the star of the story, who is in many ways Mary. As a boy learning about life, Jesus would have spent many hours with Joseph. God surely chose a man able to love, a man of integrity. In both Joseph and Mary, we have ordinary people. We sometimes forget that, but God chooses ordinary people, yes, with the character and ability to be what God calls his people to be, but they are like us. Like many of the great men and women of faith in the Bible and beyond, Joseph and Mary are ordinary people with a unique place. There are lots of love stories within the greater story of God's love for us. We may be like Boaz and Ruth. They were faithful without knowing in life the important place they would have in God's plan. They would have been long dead by the time King David was around. They had no idea that their integrity, that their faith in God would lead to that place. We may be like Joseph. He's not mentioned beyond the story of Jesus aged 12. Somewhere in the years in between 18 unaccounted for years, Joseph disappears from the story. And of course, the presumption is that he died, and that is very likely. In life, he had much more than a supporting role, though it was just that in many ways. Mary is warned that love and faithfulness comes at a cost. In the words of Simeon, a sword will pierce her soul. Her love and faithfulness are both a strength and a weakness. Maybe the question is, can we love without there being grief? We certainly grieve God, and he loves us. Jesus is born into a world that needs hope, peace, joy, and love. This is what we celebrate as God's great gift to humanity. The Christmas story is a love story. We live in a world that seems very dark, and has done at many times. We need hope, peace, joy, and love. At the heart of the Christmas story is God's faith in us. We are trusted by God just as much as he trusted Mary and Joseph. Jesus comes to us, is given for us, and God entrusts us with all that Jesus is. This Advent, through the services, apart from last week when we had the children keeping us right, we used candles. The Advent candles have formed the theme. A candle flame can seem fragile and fleeting. Perhaps that's how we feel in the world of today, in all that we see, those things that fill the newspapers, the news broadcasts. The light of a candle in such darkness seems a terribly fragile thing. But perhaps we should remember the words of an ancient proverb. It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. We are either involved in making the world a better, a lighter place, or we are the opposite. And of course, the temptation when we see what is in the world is always to despair. But that's not the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas is the light that cannot be put out. It is the light of Christ. It is that central candle that Wendy was so keen to light, and we should be keen to light it, because that's the candle that stands for Jesus. That is the light that we carry with us. The light of the world that cannot be overcome, God, in his infinite wisdom, entrusts to people not just like us, but those people who are us. Amen. And it is for that reason that I chose O Little Town of Bethlehem, because in many ways Bethlehem is one of those great symbols of Christmas. But Bethlehem today is a very dangerous, dark, and difficult place. But that's where Jesus was born, and where Jesus and the light of God still is in the midst of the darkness. Hymn 304, O Little Town of Bethlehem. turn to God now in prayer for this world to which we belong. Alistair is going to lead us.
Let us pray. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. Father God, another Christmas is very near. The very word makes us excited. You want us to be excited about Christmas, and you want us to enjoy it. But you also want us to understand it. In these days, teach us, Father, what Christmas means. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we pray for those who are not excited about Christmas, those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, or who are dreading the pressure of family gatherings and of expectations put upon them. Please draw near to lonely people, bringing them into community with others. We pray for those with mental health issues, those living alone and feeling isolated, as well as others who feel excluded for not fitting in. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we are mindful that this time of celebration is often a time of fear for our brothers and sisters around the world who are at increased risk of attack. We pray that you will protect your people from any violence as they meet for worship on this Lord's Day or gather to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ tomorrow. God of justice and compassion, we cry out to you for the people of Gaza, particularly for the children. We pray for an unequivocal ceasefire and the resumption of aid and food deliveries. We give thanks for the release of hostages and continue to pray for those still in captivity. We pray that those released may find healing and the restoration of hope. We continue to pray for a safe and prosperous tomorrow for Palestinians and Israelis, a future of equal rights for all, and an end to the occupation. We lift Christian agencies and their staff before you. We ask that they remain safe and know your peace and protection. And may we all resist hatred, stand for justice, and open ourselves to be channels of your peace. And we remember too the people of Ukraine. We recognise how easily it slips off the news. We pray too for a ceasefire there as we cry out to you for the people of Ukraine. We remember too those who have been affected by the shooting in Prague the other day, for those grieving the death of loved ones there, for those who have been injured. We pray for their care and treatment and recovery. And we bring to you now, in the silence of this moment, our prayers for those we know in need of your love and care at this time. So, Father, we bring you all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Just before we sing our final hymn, perhaps I should say that the church is open tonight for our watch night service, but you would equally be welcome down in Limekilns if you want to come down there. And if you're a little bit early and go into the hall, there may be the odd mince pie and such like around. So I'll leave that to yourselves, whether you would like to join us electronically or join us down the road physically. But I look forward to the service tonight, the Christingle, and I'm looking forward to Christmas tomorrow, as many of you are. And if you'd like to come to church on Christmas morning and bring a present with you, that would be great. I always like to see what people get. I don't know how many times I'm going to sing O Come All Ye Faithful this Christmas, but it seemed an appropriate hymn with such good words that I never get tired of singing O Come All Ye Faithful. So let's sing hymn 306, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Oh,
now in the love of Christ, carrying that light with you today and on into our celebration tomorrow. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.